Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Atlanta, you know what's up. You know what we're going to get into today. And outside of Clemson coach Dabo Swinney joining us in less than 15 minutes, Michael Parkhurst is going to join us as well as our United get back to work this weekend.
Sweet.
The topic in the sports world happened right here in our backyard last night. And I was hoping that, you know, today we'd be talking about a home run or two by Ronald Acuña, the best young player in Major League Baseball. But we're not talking about that, Mike. We're talking about some Bush League blank that went down last night at SunTrust.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that now it really becomes sort of anachronistic with baseball by 2018. You know, back in the day, if Bob Gibson was going up against Hank Aaron and Hank Aaron had a nice run going, thunk, Bob Gibson would plunk Hank Aaron would take his base. But this, it was just such a blatant, obvious, it's told by your manager, go and do it. And I thought it was real chicken blank of Don Mattingly.
Okay, wait, say that again.
Don Mattingly told his pitcher to do this. And anyone who thinks otherwise, and Brian Jordan called it out last night. And, guys, you think you know Don Mattingly because you had his baseball card? He's an old-school creep that alienated everybody in the Dodger clubhouse, and he'll be done managing after this Marlins run is over. So forget about Donnie Baseball. I mean, it was an old-school move, and it just doesn't fly anymore, especially, look, if you know how to plunk a guy, plunk a guy. If you hit him in the butt, you want to send some chin music behind his head, even that. But, I mean, the fact that imagine if Acuña breaks his elbow or wrist, you know, and the Braves lose this guy and potentially fall out of the division race because of an unwritten rule that you got to plunk the hot hitter, which is crap. I mean, it's just, you know, I've heard these unwritten rules, and you and I have talked about it before, mm-hmm. And it's all fun and games until it's your guy. It's all cool when Brian McCann wants to bow up and knock a guy off for fronting after hitting a home run, but when it's your guy getting plunked, it's a whole different animal.
It really is. I was hot last night. I was pissed off. Because Ronald Acuña is doing something special, and this run for him has now just been interrupted. And I'm hoping he comes back, and he does, continues to do what he's been doing. But Mike is right. And for those who don't know, I covered baseball for over a decade. I've been in clubhouses. I have a Hall of Fame vote. I know this. Mattingly told him to hit him. This whole crap about brushing him back and making sure he got off of his spot is bull. Okay? So don't buy into that. But, Mike, I have a bigger issue today because as this whole thing played out, and the x-rays, by the way, were negative on Ronald Acuña, the CT scan on the elbow, normal, good news. But the bigger issue I have last night is where in the hell were the vets when Acuña gets hit to make their way onto the field to tell Urania, that's not going to happen with my teammate. I'm watching this thing unfold, and Mike Bell, I see our manager, who's 60-something years old, making his way out to the mound, and I'm going, where's everybody else?
Yeah, the only other guy that was really out there was Eric Young, and he's
and I know because EY is a salty guy.
And you know Eric.
He is. Eric's a guy that doesn't take crap. So I'm screaming to myself, listen, Inciarte was the only guy that jumped the rail. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
Braves, you got to do better than that. You've got the best young player in the league, and it was almost like, should we do something? Well, maybe we shouldn't go out there. I had a huge problem with it, Mike, because I got to tell you, whether it's Roger Clemens or Andy Pettit or Mike Piazza, all right, guys that I've had these discussions with, or you could talk about Griffey, you got to defend your teammate. And here's the issue I had, and I said this last night on Twitter. You got to hit somebody. It's not about winning the game. It's about setting the tone and letting teams know this kind of stuff will not happen. And I know they gave warnings, and Gausman, we needed him, and we didn't want to stretch the bullpen. I get all of that crap. But at the end of the day, you send the message that, yo, you just hit my guy, I'm hitting yours, and we can continue to move on through this game.
Jose Urania got run, obviously. They gave the Marlins a chance to get a guy warmed up. So there was a mild degree of some justice there. And for guys that aren't catching our drift with Don Mattingly, he's not going to sit there and admit that he told his pitcher. Because
no one ever admits it.
Because then baseball will drop a heavy fine on you. But, I mean, that's baseball, guys. That's old school baseball. Look, I get it. We had the big conversation yesterday about, you know, the wussification of America and things that we grew up with and how, you know, think guys don't communicate anymore and everything's through social media and guys in their bag talking about the Aaron Rodgers, you know, calling out his players. But, I mean, the older I get, though, this one just makes less and less sense. You know, these unwritten rules of baseball. You know, you can't take a base if you got more than a 5-run lead. You know what I mean? That all that kind of stuff. You know, heaven forbid, you know, you try to score more runs when you're up, right? So there's a lot of stupidity that's been it's about time that baseball flushes it out. And it would be nice to see Rob Manfred, you know, be really aggressive here, you know, and look into it. And, you know, I'm not saying an investigation because that's never going to happen, but – you know, I would love to see the Marlins organization get popped for this. Because there's no place for this. This was something, as I said, in the 50s, 60s, maybe even when we were kids in the 70s, but not anymore.
Well, listen, even in the early 2000s, I'm telling you, this stuff goes on. But here's the deal, Mike. This is like hockey. This is a game where players can get back. That's right. How it's built. All right, if you, again, you hit my guy, okay, I'm going to hit your guy. You go after my star in hockey, I'm going to go after yours. All right? That's why you have tough guys. It's the same premise. So the idea of what baseball is, I don't want to see it change. I just thought last night, I get after the game, everybody talking about what they thought this was, but I just thought our reaction was kind of lame in the sense that our guy gets hit. He's the hottest guy in the league right now. And we were kind of like, what should we do?
Right. I mean, when I was a kid, it was kind of cool to watch, you know, somebody, you know, an enforcer for the Rangers take out, you know, somebody who was like a scorer like Mike Bossy for the Islanders. You know, oh, yeah, don't let him get his thing going. But as you get older and you put your money down, you want to see Wayne Gretzky do his thing. You want to see Mario Lemieux do his thing. You want to see Sid Crosby, unless you're a Capitals fan, do his thing. I'll give you another example. Here in Atlanta, we've got the best athletic team in MLS. Our guys get mugged. Our smaller guys are getting pushed around in the middle of the field, and the refs just let it happen. And fans want to see the beautiful game. They don't want to see a soccer version of the Detroit Pistons, who, by the way, I don't care who you are. Nobody liked that style of basketball outside of Michigan. You want to see Michael Jordan get mugged for 3 years before they finally were able to get, now eventually they got old and they were able to beat him? This is the baseball equivalent of that. Here's a guy doing his job. Let's hit him and maybe injure him. Brilliant.
Yeah, no way that that should have gone down. Now, speaking of the old school thinking, and Mattingly, to Mike's point, this is the other part. He comes from that era. Okay, so to think for 1 second that he looked at who the lineup was and went, Kunja, 3 home runs, 4 home. Okay, listen, this is what's going to happen tonight. Because there's no way Urania goes out there and goes, I'm going to hit him. Nobody does that. That was instructed. That was a code red, Mike, if I ever saw one. Here is a guy that also grew up and played in that era, Keith Hernandez. He wasn't doing our game, guys. Mm-hmm. This is a whole nother game, and they get word of what's going down. Hernandez is on the broadcast. Listen.
They're killing you. You've lost 3 games.
Right.
He's hit 3 home runs. You got to hit him. I'm sorry. I mean, people are not going to like that. It's, you know, you got to hit him, knock him down. At least, I mean, seriously knock him down if you don't hit him. And you never throw at anybody's head. You never throw at anybody's head or neck. You hit him in the back. You hit him in the fanny.
Yeah, but sometimes a player turns and he gets hit in the wrist or the hand. I read Keith's book, by the way, and Keith, you had real selective memory, by the way, on all your drug experiences in the 70s, 80s. Like, it magically never happened. And I was a big Keith Hernandez fan as a kid. He's becoming like, you know, he's like the Mets version of Joe Simpson. You know what I mean? Just not making a lot of sense instead of a cranky old man.
Keith Hernandez saying, don't throw it at a guy's head. You don't intentionally try to hit
a guy. Arena doesn't have that kind of control, and he also threw it because now, Carl, they keep stats on everything. We found out Urena's 97.5-mile-an-hour fastball is the fastest first pitch he's delivered in his career in 4 years in the bigs.
Well, that's because he was intentionally trying to hit somebody.
Right? If this is a courtroom, that's a pretty good evidence.
That's why. So, yeah, the point we're making with Hernandez is that's the mindset. That's the thinking. That's the thing that Matt Link comes from. So I'll never buy that he didn't insist that this took place, and I'll never get over the fact that he didn't, you know, we talked to the kid. Bullcorn, you did. We're going to give you a chance to win some money coming up, guys. Dabo Swinney's going to join us. We'll talk more and certainly open up the phone lines a little bit later for you to kind of help us digest this. But it doesn't stop our momentum. The good news is the Braves do win. And last night, it's a good sweep. Now the Rockies come in here. But, you know, as we move forward, and let's just say Acuna stays hot, Mike, we might have to deal with this again. And, oh, by the way, we see the Marlins next week, guys, if you're curious. We get the Marlins in Miami next week.
There'll be like 30 Marlins fans there, so it won't exactly be a hostile environment. But it is, as we said, you agree with me, though, as you get older, you know, some of the things that we thought, because we just had this conversation about things that are cool, what isn't cool, you know, and things that passed as sort of like the way the game was played. The older you get, it's like, that's garbage. It makes no sense.
What happened last night doesn't, simply because it was the first pitch. Let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Fame, F-A-M-E. Did you ever watch the TV show, the movie? Did you watch it, Fame, back in the day?
I can't lie to you. No, not 1 minute.
Fame, F-A-M-E, 72881. That's what you text the word to, 72881. Remember, message and data rates do apply, and do not text and drive.
Was it Irene Cara that sang it?
That's correct.
Fame, I want to live for... Fame, guys, to 72881. Get the grand.
All right, Dabo Swinney, guys. He's going to join us next. Head football coach at Clemson. They built a powerhouse. How did he do it? And how good are they going to be? Find out next on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And joining us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline, none other than Dabo Swinney, the head football coach at Clemson. Coach, how you doing today?
Man, I'm good. Just finished up our third big scrimmage and really pleased with what we've been able to get done to this point. So had a good day and getting ready to watch the tape and have meetings tonight and keep moving forward. Game day's getting closer by the minute.
Coach Swinney, it would be selfish on our part, but it'd be great for us if you could tell us who your quarterback's going to be this season.
Well, we got Kelly Bryant, we got Trevor Lawrence, and we got Chase Bryce. And I think at some point this season, you'll see all three of those guys, and I think they'll all play well when they get their opportunity to play.
Coach, what did you learn from the first scrimmage, the one you had just a few days ago, and then as you just spoke recently here, what have you learned about your team?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we got a lot of guys. This is the most veteran team I've had. And, you know, we got a lot of guys that came back. And it's been fun to see them because they really have had an incredible focus. Just a daily focus as far as how they've approached practice every day. Those guys have grinded as like a freshman out there. And I love seeing that. I think our leadership has been really good. But probably, you know, again, I know a lot already about this team just because we have so many guys back at every position that has good experience. We're not really starting over anywhere. But the biggest thing that I learned is this class that we signed, man, we really hit on those guys. I mean, just a lot of young talent coming in here that has demonstrated that they can play.
Coach, on the recruiting trails, we're talking with a national champion, only four of those guys right now that are active. Mm. It's Dabo Swinney from Clemson with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Have you actually been in the same driveway as like Kirby or somebody else on the recruiting trail recently?
I bump into a lot of guys on the road. You know, we go out on the road most of the time. It's December and January. Those 2 months, we're pretty much on the road all the time. That's the contact period. And so, yeah, you bump into some guys. I actually was in recruiting a kid last year, and I came out of the house, and the entire LSU staff was standing there in the circle. That was kind of crazy. So we had a little coaches convention in the cul-de-sac for a minute there, and then All right, boys, y'all head on in. And guess what? Neither one of us got it. So, at least we had some good fellowship.
That's a great story. Dabo Swinney joining us here on Dukes and Bell. And obviously, coaches in Atlanta, this is a hotbed for recruiting and in Georgia. So, guys, you guys know Gainesville's own Deshaun Watson came out of there and went to Clemson and had a great career. And, Coach, I want to ask you about Deshaun here in a little bit, but I also want to get your opinion on something that's going on in college football. And just get your opinion of the state of what's going on. We've got a situation at Ohio State. Don't know what the outcome is going to be with Urban Meyer. Also, Maryland losing a young man and a situation where they say, you know, the culture was difficult and old school. Well, what do you make of these stories as they affect college football?
You know, to be honest with you, if you go back 20 years, there was probably something then that was disappointing 20 years ago. And if you go forward 20 years from now, there's probably going to be something disappointing then. I think anytime you have people involved, there's always going to be poor decisions, mistakes, disappointment, whatever it may be. And so I think, you know, it's easy to paint with a broad brush in today's society because we live in a hyper technological world where, I mean, everything is instantaneous from an information standpoint. And that's, I think that's a positive. I don't think that's a negative. But the one bad part of it is social media is great, because it really, exposes bad stuff. But it's bad too in that, it paints with a broad brush, and I think people are so quick to all of a sudden assume that it's bad everywhere, and that's not the case. There's so much good in college football. There's so much good, but that doesn't mean that there's not bad. That doesn't mean there's not disappointment. People that, you know, do the wrong things. I don't really care what profession. In your profession, there's good and there's bad.
Right.
You know, if you line up a bunch of churches, there's good and there's bad, and Lord knows, we know if you deal with politics, there's good and there's bad. And in the business world, there's good and there's bad. But this is a very public profession. And I think that, again, we live in a world today where the bad gets exposed pretty quickly. But there's so much good out there. And so you hate to see situations and some of the things that are going on out there. But that's the world we live in. That's life. And, I mean, there's always going to be disappointments and mistakes again. But I just think there's a lot of good going on in college football. There's a lot of young people that are getting an incredible opportunity to change their life, to empower themselves for the rest of their life, to have an unbelievable experience. There's a lot of great coaches out there that love the players. And that's what I try to focus on. I think you learn from every situation, good and bad. But I just try to stay focused on what we're trying to do here at Clemson, and hopefully, through year in and year out, the experiences that our players leave here with, hopefully we can make the world a little bit better place. Hopefully by how we do things, and there's nobody perfect, but hopefully we can impact these guys' lives and have a great culture, and they take that with them and take that into their communities and into their next jobs or locker rooms and marriages, et cetera, and hopefully bring about some positive change and can look back on their time here and be very fond of it.
It's Dabo Swinney, guys. You recognize the voice, national champion, head coach of Clemson. The Final Four, it's like a birth right now for the Tigers up in Death Valley. And, you know, Coach, hearing you speak, and we talked to, like, Vic Beasley and Grady Jarrett, guys talk about you the way guys, Florida State players, talked about Coach Bowden, and that's got to make you feel proud.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, Coach Bowden, I've always had an incredible amount of respect for him, and I think he loved his players. And I don't try to emulate anybody, just try to be who I am, but I do love my players, always have, and I'm tough on them, but I love them, and I've always prided myself on having great relationships long after our guys are gone from here. And those are a couple guys that stay in touch with and really proud of the men that they've become. And, you know, just loved my time. And that's one of the things that I really try to focus on, too, is, you know, especially now I'm going on my 10th year as the head coach, and it's my 16th year at Clemson. So I've been here a while, and I have so many relationships with so many guys that I've been able to coach and meet through my incredible going on 16-year journey here at Clemson. And I, to me, that's the best part of what I get to do, is just be able to just have these lifelong friendships and relationships and to see transformation in their lives, to really see them, you know, figure it out and, you know, through their success, through their struggles. And, you know, it just makes me smile to see the transformation, you know, to see a guy like Vic Beasley, man, oh, man. If y'all only knew where he was as a freshman and a redshirt freshman and a redshirt sophomore, to see him now, it's so awesome. And to see, you know, some of my guys that didn't even play pro football, but they're out, they're doing wonderful things in the community and their marriages and as businessmen or whatever it is they're doing. A lot of them are coaches, et cetera. It's just fun to see them, you know, down the road and for them to come hug your neck. That's really, to me, I think, the measure of a coach. It's not the scoreboard or any of that stuff. It's really when you meet the 30-year-old version of that player, does he turn and go the other way, or does he come and high-five you and hug your neck and thank you for the opportunity? You know, when they're a little more mature, they understand things, a bigger picture of life. To me, that's why I coach. And, you know, I'm a long way from perfect and try to get better every year, you know, hopefully we've done a good job of that over the last 15 years here.
Dabo, I want to ask you just briefly, if you could, sum up. Because here's the deal. You just said it. You've been there a long time. It's Dabo Swinney, guys, on Dukes and Bell. We'll talk about the schedule and ask him about the scheduling. We just found out that Clemson adds LSU here in a minute. How did you do it? When you got there, Clemson was not this. How'd you do it?
Well, that's so funny. A short question, but a very deep and intense answer. I mean, the biggest thing is, first of all, just being who I am. I think that's the number one thing. I've always, you know, I made a decision early on that I had a vision for what I wanted to do and how to do it and what I wanted the program to look like, what the why of our program was going to be, you know, why we were going to practice a certain way, why we were going to have the academic standards the way we were going to have them, why we were going to have discipline the way we were going to have it. You know, I made a decision on that a long time ago, the type of people we were going to recruit, the criteria we were going to use, and we haven't varied from that. And so I think, number one, it starts with that. You have to have a vision for what you want to do, and you got to be able to articulate that, and you got to be able to create the buy-in, you know, and I think that's number one. And then number two, you've got to get good people. So for me, it's recruiting the right people. My very first class, I only signed 12 guys. I signed 12 guys, that's it. And so, you know, we've been very disciplined on how we've recruited, especially over the last 3 or 4 years as we've really established our culture, you know, as the head coach. And then, you know, also when you take over a job, you got to understand none of those people came there for you to be their head coach. So you've got to be able to create that buy-in with them, and you've got to make the best of what you have. And I think, you know, sometimes a lot of people lose sight of that. And I've always taken an inside-out approach. I think too many people focus on the outside in, and they get distracted by a result or the outcome or what the outside noise is, and so they start making decisions based on the short term as opposed to the long term. And I've always been focused on trying to just build a great program, not a good team, and have been relentless about that. But I hire people first, coaches second. I recruit people first, players second. You know, and that's just been an approach that I've stuck with. And again, I've just tried to be myself. I've tried to be relentless about getting better, learning and growing, and man, just being – have this insatiable desire to improve.
You've done it.
And I start over every year. That's the other thing. We start over every single year as if nobody knows anything. Like, we all were just, boom, dropped into Clemson from Mars, and nobody knows anything. I start over every year because it's so important that everybody understands, you know, how we got here, and what we do, how we do it, and but more importantly, why we do it this way. And so everybody's on the same page, and so we've been able to have good continuity on our staff. And when we've had change on our staff, I've had a fair amount of change. Guys have gone on to be head coaches or whatever, or coordinators. You know, we've been able to, you know, hire good people to fill those voids.
All right, just about a minute left with Coach Dabo Swinney from Clemson. Always a great time catching up with Coach. 101-30 for his career.
I know.
Coach, we talked about the quarterback battle. You want to see maybe it's a little bit of everybody out there. You got a great secondary. What's the one concern? Do you have a concern for this squad going into 18?
I wouldn't say I have a concern other than, you know, just maintaining the relentless daily focus that it takes to be great and to just really – put the blinders on, man, and just run our race. You know, don't get distracted by anything, nothing. Just be relentless about our preparation every day, week in and week out, and truly, you know, we know we're good enough. You know, these guys know that. These senior guys have won 40 games in 3 years. They've been in three playoffs, three straight conference championships. They get it. They know that they're talented. But they also know what it takes. And so just having that relentless, focused intensity that it takes to be great and to become the best version of you, that's all we're after. And so, you know, don't make anything about anybody else. It's just make it all about Clemson. And let's focus on the standard that we've set. Don't lose to Clemson. You know, let's take care of the things that we control. And if we do that and we do it with great effort and passion each week, you know, eye of the tiger, we can live with whatever result we get.
Coach, I have to ask, you talk to Deshaun?
Oh, yeah.
How often?
Yeah.
How often?
We text quite a bit and text him not too long ago, just as he was getting going into camp. And he's fired up and excited. And so just try to stay in touch with all those guys. And I talked to him the day that he tore his knee and have kept up with him, you know, all throughout the years he's gone through his rehab. And I did not get a chance to see him this summer. He wasn't able to get down, but he's been grinding, you know, to get back and be 100% healthy. And he feels great. He's excited about where he is. And I can't wait to see him back out on the field, you know, doing what he loves to do.
Dabo, you're one of our favorites, man. I really do appreciate the way you handle your business. You put it out there, and you take young men and you turn them into productive citizens in society. We appreciate you jumping on with us here on Dukes and Bell.
Yes, sir. Good to be with you. Have a great day.
You too. There he is, Dabo Swinney.
Yeah, it's funny because we were talking about this off the air. We'll continue the conversation because nice guys can win, apparently, in the world of college football.
All right, guys, coming up, Michael Parkhurst will join us talking Atlanta United, and we'll get back to the Braves as well. Let's talk some Atlanta United. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, and, of course, your comments are welcome at 404-741-0929 on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Mike, we're back to soccer.
Yeah, I just saw a tweet that Jason Longshore retweeted saying, who wants to come hang out with me tomorrow at Atlanta Marriott Marquis? And there's a picture of Kevin Kratz. Parkhurst, is he like working for chicks or what's going on here? Is this a meeting with fans? I'm not sure. Is he trolling? What's going on there?
Who knows what Mr. Kratz is up to, but if he says he's going to be there, I'm sure he'll be there.
Hey, man. By the way, we haven't had a chance to debrief since the All-Star game. How much fun was that? You've been in a bunch of them, but how cool was it here at Mercedes?
It was awesome. What an awesome event, an awesome experience. The city of Atlanta put on a tremendous show, Atlanta United, MLS. Everyone just did an awesome job, and it went so well. Obviously, the crowd, the atmosphere, the game itself was good. A night to remember and an event to remember, definitely.
Parkhurst joining us here on Dukes and Bell, our captain. And we've been talking about this. All right, so you guys get a nice little break. Now it's back to business. You've got, obviously, Columbus Crew coming up on Sunday. But, you know, the way that we've lost games, is it a little concerning to you that, you know, we got to finish here and find a way to finish games that we haven't been able to this season?
Yeah, it seemed like in the beginning of the season we did a really good job of shutting down games, closing games out when we had a one-goal lead. And then, you know, starting in Dallas, we let one slip away, and then a couple times since then. So we definitely watched a little bit of film this week. We want to shore up some things defensively, how to close out games properly, what we need to do. and just making sure that we're all aware of our responsibilities no matter what formation we're in, especially when we're trying to close out a game. So, we all need to be more aware mentally and physically of what's going on, especially late in games, because we work too hard throughout the entire game to get ourselves these leads, and it's disappointing to have lost some points that way.
We know how the playoff game went last year. We had a great gritty effort against Columbus in their house earlier in the season. So, I mean, are they in limbo with this going to Austin thing? You think I have any effect on those guys?
I'm sure in the back of their heads mentally, it's challenging not knowing where you're going to be next year. But, I mean, there's guys on every team not knowing where they're going to be next year.
You know,
there's options on them for everybody and throughout the league. So, I don't think on game day it's affecting them. They're a very good team, and we've played them well for the most part, outside of the playoff game last year. But, they're a good team. They're difficult to play against. They're one of the best soccer-playing teams in the league. They keep the ball on the ground. They've got a great attack. But, we do as well. So it'll be a fun one.
Michael Parkhurst, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. What do you make of Joseph Martinez this season? I mean, are you guys, when you guys walk back and the game's over, you're like, damn. I mean, what are you guys saying about it?
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, we're lucky to have him on our team, that's for sure. I've never seen anything like it. He's ruthless in front of goal. He's fearless. So many of his goals that he scored, even the one at the All-Star game, it's just, he doesn't care. If he's going to get a cleat in the face, then so be it. If he's going to get a broken nose for scoring a goal, so be it. He just has no fear. And him and Miguel and the guys up top just combine so well, putting him in good positions to score goals. And right now he's just not missing. And that's great for us. I hope he absolutely destroys the record. And if he stays healthy and we give him good opportunities, he will do that. And awesome to be a part of and to witness it.
It's El Capitan. Michael Parkhurst with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline, taking on Columbus Sunday, 4 o'clock, right here on your home of United, 92.9 The Game. Well, we had Barco in timeout. They've been throwing some different lineups out there. You like the 3-5-2. They've had Gressel in, out on the wing. It's working. How do you like the different things that Tata's coming up with?
Yeah, it's good that the team's flexible. I think you become a little bit too predictable to play against if you're tossing out the same formation, the same lineup week in, week out. Guys, we understand now, I think, for the most part, our roles and the differences between the formations and, depending on the opponent, the situation during the game, it's good to be able to switch it up if we need to. So, I think everyone is well aware and willing to do that.
Parky, talk about Eric Mehmeti and what he's meant since coming onto this club, because we've really liked, Mike and I really liked, I think most United fans have liked what we've seen from him, but how do you describe what he's been since getting here?
Yeah, he's been very good. He's very Carlos Carmona-like from last year.
Right.
A guy that, similar to Jeff Marinovich, just does the dirty work in the midfield, runs all over the field, nothing flashy offensively, but knows how to get the ball to our playmakers, and then is another defensive mind in the midfield, worrying about the counterattack. So I think he's played really well in the games that he's played. And he's definitely a guy that's helped the team and will help the team down the road.
So what is we've had obviously Brad on. What does Goose yell at you guys? Left! Right. I mean, what is he screaming when he's hollering at you guys?
We try and block it out as much as I can tell you, but I think most of the time he's yelling just to make sure that he stays in the game, that he's not just thinking about what he's going to eat after the game or something like that. I'm joking, obviously, but he's important because he's telling us where guys are. He can see runs that the forwards are making usually before we can, because we've got to keep an eye on the ball. So he's always shouting at us where he wants us to be, where the danger is, just making sure that we're staying focused, especially when we're in attack. It's easy for us to kind of just sit there and watch Miguel and Joseph and Tito do their thing offensively. Mm-hmm. But if we're doing that, we're not prepared for the counterattack. So that's one of Brad's main jobs. But often I think we just turn around and tell him, hey,
be quiet. Just hit the ball. Yeah.
Pipe down.
Michael, it's always good to talk with you, man. Glad you guys got some rest. Looking forward to seeing what goes down Sunday against Columbus Crew. And we'll talk soon, my friend. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You got it. As Michael Parker is your captain of Atlanta United FC. Again, here, Conti with Longshore. And they got the call coming up on Sunday. Great sports weekend for Atlanta, man. You got Braves, Rockies. We got Falcons, of course, Friday night against the Chiefs. And then Sunday with United. So, man, I'm doing all three. I know you got families and kids. You can't do all of them. But I'm looking forward to, like, the triple-header weekend, man.
It's going to be fun, man. When we come back, where I was disappointed after last night's incident with Ronald Acuna, we will also get an NFL blitz in, the latest around the National Football League, next on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.